Well, at the beginning of the year, I always like to start off with some sort of a message that will transition us from last year to this year. Since we missed last week because of the weather, I feel like, you know, this is really late. But the fact of the matter is, God gave us a whole year in 2024, and now he's given us here in 2025 at least a couple of weeks' entrance into it. We often start off the new year with resolutions. You know, this year I resolved to gain weight, at least 30 pounds. I'm going to stop exercising. It's such a waste of time. I resolved to read less. It makes you think too much. I am going to watch more TV. I've been missing some really good stuff. And I'm going to start procrastinating more. I'll probably start on that tomorrow. No. Those are not the kind of resolutions we make. But a lot of times we make resolutions and we just don't fulfill them. I was thinking back, you know, some of the way my resolutions work year after year. You know, and this is how they often go over the years. Okay, this year I'm going to read 20 good books, at least this year. And then we don't get it done, so next year we say, I'm going to read at least 10 good books this year. And that doesn't happen. Then we say, the next year, I'll read 5 books this year. And then by the next year, we say, I'm going to finish the good book I started last year. Then we might say, I'm going to read some articles in the newspaper this year. And then the next year, we say, I will at least read one article this year. And then by the time we're done with this, we usually say something like, well, I'm going to try and finish the comic section this year on a regular basis. We don't tend to keep our resolutions very long. Most, I understand, fail resolutions in about the first 2 weeks. That's about right. And most of them by February 1st are pretty much history and broken and not there anymore. But, you know, it's at the start of the year, it's a good time to stop and think about where we are and where we've been and where we're going. And I've always thought it was just really almost silly and amazing that we just pick a spot in time and we, yay, it's a new year and wow, we're going to start over and all that. But it's a good marker. We need markers like that. And so I'd just like to help us to think about some things as we start here on 2025, and we'll go from there. Kim, I think I've lost control here. Oh, no, it's up there, but it's not on mine. Let's back up. Okay. All right, this will work. I want you to take your Bibles and open to Philippians chapter 3. We have really the two separate systems that come together. One's that you see, one's that I see. And I wasn't seeing much up there. So, Philippians. Let's look at some of the things Paul says about life. And he evaluated himself, where he was in life and where he needed to go. And this is a great passage here, Philippians chapter 3. We have to look and deal with the past in some way. How many of you have a past? Okay. What are the others? Where have you been living? We all have a past. Some of the things in the past we look back to with fond memories. Other things we look back to and we feel the pain from certain things that have happened or things that went wrong or failures in our lives. Paul talks about that in this passage. Let's consider what he says. But we're going to start back in verse 10 to sort of get a running thing here. This is my life verse. I love this verse. Philippians 3:10, Paul writes, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. He says, I want to know Christ. Boy, that is an ambitious goal. That means you're going to have to do some profound study and thinking and analyzing Christ's work in the scripture and also in your life. Did Christ suffer? Yes, he did. Paul says, I want to understand that suffering and I want to go through what he went through and learn from it what he learned from it. And we find out that Christ suffered for doing right, for saying truth. And Paul says, I'm willing to suffer for doing what's right. And we notice, too, about Christ that evil men hated and persecuted him. But you know what? He loved them anyway. And Paul, in his heart, was saying, I want to love the people that persecute me. And then he noticed that Jesus was selfless and giving and sacrificing. And he probably said, I want to be that same way. I want to be selfless and giving and sacrificing. And I'm sure these weren't just things that Paul thought about and set up at one time in his life. It was probably a developing kind of a thing. But do you think that Paul accomplished everything he set out to do? I want to know Christ. And do you think he was successful at everything from day one? And the answer to that would be, boy, if it was, he's very unusual. But he was a man just like we are, and he was a human, and he probably didn't get it right the first time. As he looked back in his past, there had to be failures. I'm sure he tried and tried, and he prayed about it, and he tried some more, and sometimes he failed. But over the course of time, I think he got better at what he was doing. And he started having more right actions and better attitudes and so on. And I think we get a pretty good clue here in verse 12. Notice what he says here in this same passage. Not that I have already obtained all this. I want to know Christ and I want to walk the way he did. And I want to live the way he did. I have not obtained all that. It's kind of an admission of, I've blown it some places in the past. He says, I've not obtained all this or have already been perfect. But you notice, let's see, in the verse 13, brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I haven't reached the standard of where I want to be. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. You know, sometimes you have to look back at the past and let it go. And that's not easy to do on certain things. Sometimes we hang on to our successes. That can ruin us in the present and in the future. Sometimes we won't let go of the pain and the struggles and the agony that we felt back there. Maybe we see people's faces and it hurts. But you know, going forward, it's not going to help us to carry all of that into the future. John MacArthur says, Paul made a point and he made a break with everything in his past, both good and bad, religious achievements, virtuous deeds, great success in ministry, as well as sins, missed opportunities, and disasters must all be forgotten. They do not control the present or the future. Believers cannot live on past victories, nor should they be debilitated by the guilt of past sins. Don't let your past slow you down to what you can become. He goes on to say, churches are full of spiritual cripples, paralyzed by the grudges, bitterness, sins, and tragedies of the past. Others try to survive in the present by reliving past successes. They must break with that past if they're to pursue the spiritual prize. God is interested in what believers do now and in the future. Past no longer counts in that sense. One of my favorite writers is Warren Wiersbe, and he says, apart from senility, hypnosis, or a brain malfunction, no mature person can forget what happened in the past. You found that to be true? It just sort of hangs around like an unwelcome guest sometimes, doesn't it? We may wish that we could erase certain bad memories, but we cannot. To forget, he says, in the Bible means no longer to be influenced by or affected by. And he illustrates it. When God promises, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more," and that's Hebrews 10:17, he's not suggesting that he will conveniently have a bad memory. That's impossible with God because he can forget nothing. But what God is saying is, I'll no longer hold their sins against them. Their sins will no longer affect their standing with me or influence my attitude toward them. And praise God for his forgetfulness, where he doesn't forget, but it doesn't affect his attitude and actions toward us. Now, the fact of the matter is, we can learn a lot from the past. There are lessons back there we should learn. There's things that have happened that have really maybe knocked a rough edge off of our life, and we should thank God for those things. So I can learn from my past. I can learn from my successes. I can learn from my failures. I can be forgiven for my sin. And all of that is true and can be in the past. So let's learn the lesson and then move forward. Don't let the guilt of failure slow you down or mess with you. Another pastor wrote, "When we fail in life, it makes us stronger. Failure makes us wiser. Failure gets us closer to our dream. When we fall down, stand up again. Because when a baby is learning to walk, it falls many times before it gains the vigor and poise to walk. Falling and failing from time to time is not a way of life, but a fact of life. If you're alive, you're going to fail." It's like every time I come in with a wound and I'm bleeding and Anita has to run for the bandages or I'm looking for them, I say, "Honey, it's only the people who are active and working that cut themselves, that damage themselves." And that, I think, is really true. But failure is never a reason to discontinue trying. We've got to keep going. Trying does not kill, but generates a new viewpoint in your life. And failure provides another opportunity to have the benefit of success. Just because we failed once doesn't mean we got to fail the second time. We can always change as we're going forward. So we have to forget our successes and our achievements. Yesterday's successes will not help us unless they taught us a lesson in some way. You know, we got to let God keep track of the past. There's a great verse I fell in love with. It's Hebrews 6:10. It says that God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people. So God is saying, you know, whatever you're doing in serving me, I'm going to keep track of that for you. And there's going to be a reward in there for you. So we give the past to him, and we allow him to whatever needs to be done there. If Paul remembered the past, maybe he'd have been filled with pride. You met somebody that's just proudly arrogant of what they've accomplished somewhere through life, that might have been Paul. But he says, "I forget the past. I forget the past." If Paul remembered the past, he might have been really discouraged at some points. So he wanted to forget the past. And if he remembered the past, he might rest on it, think about it, and waste his time there. But, you know, we're in a race and we have to go forward. You can't win the race, and Paul always felt like he was in a race, if he doesn't keep going. So what is it that I need to forget? What is it you need to forget? You know, if you've confessed something to God, it's not on his radar anymore. He wants you to move past that. Philippians 3:13, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind." Forgetting what is behind. That's how we handle the past. Don't let it destroy you in the present and in the future. It's time to turn the page to a new year. We're headed into 2025. So here we come into the present. Here Paul says in Philippians 3:12, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but listen to what he says. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You know, when you were saved, it was like the Lord Jesus took hold of you for a purpose and a reason. It's kind of like when I go to my toolbox, and kind of a rough illustration, I suppose. But I go to the toolbox, and I reach in there, and I pick up this hammer. And it's going to be a tool in my hand to accomplish something. And in some way, Christ reaches down and saves us and grabs a hold of us. And there's something he wants to use us for. And so we want to let him do that. And Paul says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I want to do what he wants me to do. I want to fulfill his reason and his purpose. And then he says, one thing I do, this is down in verse 13, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Straining. He's like a runner giving it his last shot toward the finish line, straining. But that's something you do today, right now in the present. And then verse 14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And you know, all of those things in verse 12, I press on to take hold of what Christ Jesus has taken hold of me for. And then verse 13, halfway through, straining toward what is ahead. Verse 14, I press on to the goal. You can't do those in the past. You can't do those in the future. You got to do it in the present time. Today. It's the only time it works. You know, you can't live in tomorrow. You can't live in yesterday. And so Paul's saying, I got to do this today. Today. I think Paul discusses this more fully in Romans chapter 13. So if you take your Bible and turn back to Romans 13. Romans 13 and verse 11. And now he's talking about the present time. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Our salvation. And notice there's going to be three things he's pointing out here. Our salvation is nearer now. You know, we're living in critical, amazing times. Because we're living in the days, I think, when Jesus is coming back. Boy, prophecy is just being fulfilled. And I know there's a lot of garbage stuff out there about prophecy online and whatnot. But you look at the scripture and you look at what's going on in the world. And we have Israel back in the land. And we have Israel surrounded by our enemies, which is exactly what the scripture told us. We're moving toward global everything. And, you know, this is all going to come together exactly the way Scripture says. But those are the days when Jesus is going to come back. So he says our salvation is nearer now. And he does have this future aspect in view. You know, you have three parts to your salvation. One is when you got saved, and that's in the past, and that's when you were justified. Then you were saved from the penalty of your sin. And anybody here can be saved from the penalty of your sin. And if you aren't, you're going to pay for it someday, that sin, because the wages of sin is death. But then there's also a present aspect of salvation, and that's what we call sanctification. And God begins to work with us so that sin doesn't have power over us. We live as overcomers. But this is the one he's talking about here is future. And that salvation is glorification, and I'm taken out of the presence of sin. And I don't live with sin anymore. It's out of my body, out of my heart, out of my mind. I'm completely different. And that all happens when the Lord Jesus comes back. So a person is coming to rescue us. The rescuer is almost here. Our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. Now, Paul thought there when he's writing this back about 50-ish A.D., that Jesus was about here. If he were here today, he'd be going, "It's near, it's near, it's near. Come on, it's near. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Wake up." Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. You know, an enemy through trickery and deceit has enslaved man to darkness, despair, and sin. And because of that, we cry out day by day and we groan, as the scripture says. It's a heavy load. It's more than we can bear, and yet we can't do anything about it. But here comes the Calvary. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came in, and Jesus has come to our rescue, and he saves us. But one of these days, he's going to come back and take us, and we're going to go live with him forever and ever. Scripture speaks about that in abundance. Hebrews 9:28. He will appear to bring salvation or rescue. 1 Timothy 6:14, the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about at his own time. I hope God's looking at his watch going, countdown, countdown, almost, almost here. 2 Timothy 4:1, Paul says to Timothy, you preach the word in light of his coming. You know, his coming may be today, it might be tomorrow, it might be this month, this year, we don't know, but we want to be ready. And Timothy, preach, 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 preach. And then Titus 2:13 says, it's the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Savior. And Peter talks about the chief shepherd appearing. So Scripture's just full of things like that. Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. So what kind of life do you want to be living when Jesus comes? That's my question to me. Well, I got to start practicing it now. So what do I need to do? Well, look here at 12b. Put aside the deeds of darkness. Put aside the deeds of darkness. There are things as a Christian believer I ought not do. And so I'm supposed to set aside the deeds of darkness. There's a bunch of things listed. Orgies, that's a letting loose, a rioting, a brawling, a wild parting. That should not be a part of our lives. That's the kind of stuff that happens when you're drunk. Drunkenness, living under the control of a substance. God says, I want you to live under my Holy Spirit's control, not anything else, whatever that might be. Sexual immorality, we live for sexual pleasure. Debauchery, giving ourselves to sin and unbridled lust. Dissensions is fights. We can't get along. Jealousy is contentious. We don't like each other because of what each has. God says, you know, you're living in today. Today is the day you got to set aside, put aside these deeds of darkness. We don't want to look like the devil in the days when Jesus comes. We want to look like Jesus. He says there also in verse 12b, put on the armor of light. Put on the armor. Behave decently. Clothe yourself with Christ. In this case, evil is darkness and good is light. And God says, I want you to do good things and right things. Behave decently. Live your life to please God, a life with no spot or wrinkle. And I think since he's saying, wake up, clothe yourself with Christ, get up and get dressed. I'm not one of these guys that gets up in the morning and hangs around in my PJs for half the day. That's never been me. I get up and get dressed. That's what God's telling us to do. Now, if you do that, that's fine. Just go ahead and do it. But you know, don't think about gratifying the sin nature. Get ready. Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. We can only do that in the present. Are we making our present time profitable? Boy, I look into my past and there was so much of my present time back there that was not profitable for the things of God. So it makes me stop and think about the here and now. How am I using my now to serve the Lord? To do what He wants me to do, to live His way, to let my life be an influence and a testimony. I got to do it today. I can't do it yesterday, and I can't do it tomorrow, but I can do it today. So, in the present, I need to wake up. There's the future. We have no idea what the future holds. Just not at all. There are some times you wish you could back up the future. I mean, something that happens. You know, you ever mess something up and then say, oh, God, if I could just back the clock up 3 minutes. But we can't do that. We're headed into the future. Verse 12 here in Romans, he says, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. The day is almost here. The day of the Lord's return, the day of the brightness of the Lord in every way. You know, right now, it's dark. In our country and our community, sin abounds. Sexual immorality runs rampant in our country. The bonds of marriage are despised by so many. We worship just about everything but the God of heaven, the true God of heaven. And we're divided, and so many enjoy just stirring up trouble. We live for ourselves, and so many of us are just selfish to the core. But we're headed into a new day, a new day. The dawn is almost here, the brilliance of a new day. I love the dawn. It's really something to see, and it's still dark, and you see just a sliver of light around the horizon. And then all of a sudden, you notice it's getting brighter and brighter as we move into that. And that's what's going to happen in the future. You know, God has promised us so many new things in the days to come as believers. We're going to have a new life, which we already have, but it's going to be fuller than ever. We are going to have a new song and a new way to serve and a new mind and a new self, and a new birth, and a new heaven, and a new earth. Scripture looks at that future time. And Paul says this in Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. You know, everything out there in creation is just waiting until Jesus comes and gets us and starts to demonstrate what His children will be like forever. Verse 20 says, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. And we know that the whole creation, Paul says, has been groaning as if in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Yeah? You get up in the morning and groan some too, don't you? Paul says, not only that, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. That's what we're moving toward in the future. And so, in that day, gone will be sin. What would it be like to be perfect in all of our actions, in all of our thoughts, in all of our responses to other people, what would it be like to be absolutely perfect? We're going to know in that day. In that day, there'll be no more weakness. There'll be no more suffering. Some of you know so much about that. There'll be no more restlessness. That'd be the opposite of peace, restlessness. In that day, there'll be no more struggle. If you're going to enjoy struggle, you better enjoy it here because it's not going to be there. The feelings you have of inadequacy are not going to follow us when we get to that world. Instead, that world is going to be perfect, and we're going to have strength and glory and joy and peace. And folks, Paul says, look forward. Look forward. That's what's coming. That's what you get. And Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven, new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And we're part of that new Jerusalem. That's us he's talking about. And then there's a voice that says, now the dwelling of God is with man. He will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. What an incredible thing. That's what's the future for us. My, oh my, it should change how we live in the present because of where we know the future is for us. Well, some years back, there was a senator by the name of Dwight W. Morrow, and he was on a train, and a railroad train, and he's searching all over every pocket on his suit, his shirt, and he's trying to find his ticket. And he was on a train leaving New York City, and he says, I've got to find that ticket. And that's what he's muttering to himself. And the conductor, who is standing there waiting for him to produce a ticket, says, don't worry about it, Mr. Morrow. We know that you have a ticket. When you find it, just mail it into the railroad and everything will be okay. And he goes, no. This is Morrow speaking now. He says, that's not what's troubling me, he said. I need to find out where I'm going. So the question is, where am I going? Where are you going? If in the present direction I'm walking, where will I end up? It's all good stuff to think about here at the beginning of a new year. If I keep going the way I'm going, where am I going to end up? You can be on the path of life because you've gone through the narrow gate, which is the Lord Jesus, that leads to life. You can be on the broad road, and that just means you've never gotten off of the broad road to go to Jesus, so you end up in destruction. If I keep walking the way I am, if I keep being the way I am I going to be a grumpy old man or a pretty nice old guy? Where am I going? Where am I going to end up? Where will I be at the end of the year? Well, today would be a good day to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If he comes in the rapture, you don't want to get left behind. You just don't. What a terrifying thing to know you've been left. Put your faith in him today. You sense your sin, and you know that you're in trouble with God, come to Jesus. He is the one who can save you from the penalty of your sin. And we can pray with you today. So you can meet me here at the front in a moment when we sing, or you can stop me after the service. If you're a lady, go see Anita. She can talk to you too. Let's stand and pray together, shall we? Father, thank you for your wisdom on living. And the past is the past, and we can't change it. We can learn from it, but we need to go on. In the present, we need to wake up because we're flying along, and Jesus is going to come one of these days. But the only way we can get ready for him is in the present. So help us to use today and every moment that we operate in is today. Help us to live in the moment and do the right thing to prepare for the future. Bless us in that. Father, open our eyes. We so many times just sleep through life and we're not thinking about what's happening, where we're going, what we need to do. And I just pray you'd give us some wisdom. And there's some folks here perhaps that don't know Jesus, and they do not know the absolute terror that is ahead of them because they don't have Jesus as their sin forgiver, as their advocate, their lawyer. And so I pray that we won't go very far here into 2025 until they're right with Jesus. Give them the courage to step out and say, I want Jesus, and thank you. So bless us as we live this new year. May it count for the Lord Jesus Christ in every way. And thank you for so many folks here who love Jesus and are walking with him. Thank you. Amen.